Blog Talk Radio.
Up, everybody. 10:30 on the dot Tuesday night. You know what that means. Mac and Candela on the airwaves of Michigan Prep to Pros. Jerry Mac right here. Nick Candela over there. What is happening, everybody? What is happening, Nick Candela?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. Another Tuesday night. Happy everyone's listening live. Not listening live. We'll definitely hear you listening to the archive. And, we got some big things planned coming up for the end of the year and into 2017. So,
and everything's
things
coming
are popping
together.
Yeah, isn't it crazy?
Everything is coming together, man. Time is flying. Yeah. So stick around. We appreciate everybody tuning in every week, as you do on Mac and Candela. Good show lined up for you today. As always, we're going to give you a heavy dose of prep sports, the MHSAA football state finals. Wrapping up this past weekend after Thanksgiving down at Ford Field. A lot of good football at Division I through 8 finals. I caught the night session of Saturday evening. I was down there for the last two games. Saw a great game between Orchard Lake St. Mary's and Muskegon.
What a game.
Whoo, that was something else.
They bring it every year just like that.
Oh, man, it was something else. And Orchard Lake St. Mary's, a 4-loss team, getting into the playoffs and proving to get it done against a very good Muskegon team, man. I'm telling you,
they shocked me. There was not counting them out early on in the year. You know, this was supposed to be, Lowell's year or, Grand Rapids Christian was supposed to be back there. People were talking, them up, a lot of hype, but Muskegon showed that, they kind of rule the West Side.
Yes.
At the Division II level.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that here a little bit coming up. Obviously, we've got some thoughts on the Michigan and Ohio State game. It's Tuesday night, so I still feel that it's still fresh enough to be able to talk. We're not going to hammer you home with all the mainstream stuff. We'll give you a quick recap of the game. I'm pretty sure everybody watched that game. I'm pretty sure everybody knows what happened.
Right.
So Nick and I are going to give you a quick take.
Yeah,
on our thoughts
on
it, and then I want to hammer something home. I know I went on to the social media platforms that we have, mainly the Facebook group,
Michigan Prep to Pro Sports Talk Group.
Yep. Not everybody agreed with me, and I think I started a pretty heavy debate there. But there's something I want to hammer home on Jabril Peppers. I've got that lined up a little bit later on as well. We're going to talk about college football playoffs. Michigan being announced that they were number 5, only dropping a couple of spots. There is still an outside chance for the Wolverines. We'll get into that a little bit later on. If we have time, we'll touch on the college football bowl projections nice and early for you the week before conference championships take place. And then we want to go a little bit in depth on the Detroit Lions this week. Bring them back to life.
It's the last week of November, and your Detroit Leos, headed by one John Matthew Stafford,
yes, sir,
is in first place by a couple of games now.
Yeah, they got essentially a two-game lead in the NFC North. And you know what? I know people who have been talking playoffs for the last couple of weeks have really shifted their focus on catching Seattle, and we were gifted this weekend with one of those, and they're essentially just a game behind Seattle now for a bye spot.
I know, do you ever think that you would be able to hear people talking about first-round byes and home playoff games?
You know, a little bit. The last time they made the playoffs, what was that, 2011, I think it was?
Smoked by New Orleans.
That was 2011 when they got smoked by New Orleans.
Yeah,
So it was 2014 when they just went down and lost to Dallas.
Oh, yeah, right.
Right?
That,
so
bad officiating.
I think it was that year they were talking a little bit, having their sights on first round home game, at least. I don't think first round bye, although they were out to what, a 6-2 start one of those years or something.
Yeah, they jumped
know.
Out 6-2 and then dropped the last 8.
But to answer
there.
Your question, I guess no. It really hasn't been in range. Now, the Lions do have a tough schedule coming up.
Yeah,
you know,
especially
so
on the road.
We'll get people's thoughts on that. But one of the questions I had asked to the people was, you know, if the Lions, if playoff tickets, home tickets were to go on sale right now, would you buy them up? And how many rounds would you buy? That was one of my questions. I don't know.
Oh, man, it's like the kiss of death.
It is.
That's definitely
Lions,
you know
look,
that's counting your.
We're
going to
bring the Lions back. We're going to bring the Lions. We're you know back to life here and talk about them, but later on in the show. But I guess what I'll just say is don't invest too much emotion into them. They got a tough schedule coming up, man.
And we've said it over and over and over again. You know, my analogy with the Lions is always it's like that ex girlfriend that you never really lost feelings for. And then she calls you one day, and you're like, oh, here it is. We're back, baby. We're back. And then she just goes and breaks your heart again.
I don't know anything about it.
I know you've been disenfranchised from not just the Lions,
well,
but the NFL in general for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, for a while.
And really, I didn't let my girlfriends treat me like that either.
Oh, okay. I see how it is.
Player, right?
Oh, absolutely. I didn't realize I was in here with a baller.
They asked me if I consider myself a player, if I just crush a lot.
Right, right.
And I feel I've got a nice, healthy balance of the two.
So what you're saying is don't hate the player, hate the game.
That's right. You absolutely cannot hate the player in any situation. If you're mad, hate the game, bro.
Hey, it's a difficult game out there.
I mean, look at what John Harbaugh did. Don't hate the player, man. Hate the game. Did you see that, by the way?
What, his blow up on the official?
No, John Harbaugh, the coach of the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah, kind of. Threw a curveball to you right there, man, early on in the show. I apologize about that. We didn't even pregame about that.
Yeah, this is not in our show notes.
It was not in our show notes.
I refuse to answer this question. No, no. Tell me all about it.
So, John Harbaugh, with 11 seconds to go in the game, they were up by 6 points, 5 points or whatnot over the Bengals. The Bengals.
The Bengalis.
Yeah, and they didn't want to punt the ball away.
Okay.
They did not want to punt the ball away and give the Bengals a chance to return that,
okay,
or even block the kick and take it in
do
for
something
a touchdown.
That can happen,
right? I mean, I'm sure the Harbaughs are somewhat familiar with blocked punts too. Yeah, I don't know. I know that's old. I shouldn't bring
sacrilege.
It up, but you know, I did. What are you gonna do? Anyway,
man, you yelled at me for saying the words Walmart Wolverine last week.
Look, it's a comparison game. Look, you can compare, but it's two things you can compare. Jim handled it one way. John handled it the other.
Okay.
So John decided to call a timeout before that last on the fourth down before the punt attempt and told his players just to grab jerseys, a hold of whatever you can, and literally on the snap of the ball, you literally see all the Ravens just grabbing jerseys, grabbing collars, bear hugging. I mean,
it's
wrestling people down. Oh, yeah. The punter caught the ball, ran into the end zone. You know, they took the safety, but they
ran the clock.
They ran 11 seconds off the clock, and on a holding penalty is an offensive penalty. It's not an untimed down. Game over. It's nice and safe. He played within the rules.
Genius.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just threw that out there.
That's interesting.
I had a joke about that, but I couldn't say it. It was about the Michigan game, and because they showed the video of it right on a Sunday. And
do you think that's something like sitting around Thanksgiving, John and Jim are talking like, what could we have done instead? And they came up with that, and John's like, hey, I got this crazy idea that my brother Jimbo came up with at Thanksgiving last year.
Interesting Thanksgiving conversation. Which, by the way, did you enjoy your Thanksgiving?
I had a terrific Thanksgiving. Yeah, thanks for asking.
That's right. We were we did have a show last week.
Yeah.
But then Thanksgiving was right after it. I almost hopped on our airwaves and did a Lion special live.
Okay.
Because I had to work that day anyways. But I decided not to. I just cut my day short. headed out. So
you're like, you know what? It's a holiday. I might breathe for 15 seconds this year with your schedule.
Yeah, I was having a hard time breathing.
Get all the
all
rest
that
you can in,
anyways, man.
Man.
I was having a hard time with all that turkey.
Oh,
your turkey wasn't dry, was it? You were worried about your turkey being dry.
Turkey was delicious. The stuffing was even better. So shout out
to
the in-laws.
Okay.
And yeah, they had a great meal. We saw some deer walking in the backyard. My 18-month-old daughter saw our first deer, wild deer.
She
loved
it. Friends?
Yeah, absolutely. My dog Rocco thought, you know, they were demons ready to attack, so he was on guard. But, you know, yeah, great Thanksgiving. You know, thanks for asking. Hopefully, you know, yours went well.
Yes, the food was very good. Everything lived up to the hype. There was no disappointment. There wasn't any dry turkey. The biscuits were perfectly done.
Well, of course.
Ended up with a bag full of, like, 13 biscuits, 14 biscuits.
Some leftover action? Oh, yeah.
And
that's the best part of Thanksgiving
is
leftovers.
I had biscuits for days afterwards.
Nice.
It was good stuff. All right. Shall we?
Yeah, let's.
Okay. Let's kick things off with some MHSAA state finals talk then, shall we?
Yeah, no problem. So, obviously, the football season is over at the high school level for the Michigan High School Athletic Association, and they've crowned some champions. And I'm just going to quickly give you a rundown of, you know, all the champions, divisions 1 through 8, and then we'll kind of talk about some of the top bigger divisions as we go along here. So we'll start in Division 8, Muskegon Catholic Central caps off Ottawa Lake Whitford 35-6. D7, Pouama Westphalia defeats Detroit Loyola 28-14. In D6, Jackson Lumen Christie defeats Maple City Glen Lake 26-14. D5, Grand Rapids Catholic Central over Menominee 43-7.
I was there for that one as well. That was a shelling.
Oh, yeah. Grand Rapids Rust Catholic came strong with that UFER team. Division 4, Grand Rapids Catholic Central 10, Detroit Country Day 7. That one came pretty much down right to the end.
Yep.
Catholic Central scored late in the fourth quarter.
We'd see a little bit more offense in that one.
Absolutely.
I was a little surprised on it.
Especially a lot of talent coming out of Country Day. Division 3, we talked about that briefly as we opened up the show.
Great
Orchard
game.
Lake State Mary's 29, Muskegon 28 on a last-second play. Division 2 was Detroit Martin Luther King shutting out the Walled Lake Western Warriors.
Tough outing for Cody White in that one.
And, of course, in the big one, Detroit Cass Tech puts it all out there on a beat-up Detroit Catholic Central team, 49-20. Tell me those Shamrocks don't miss their quarterback now.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Cass Tech was waiting for this one for the last 3 or 4 years. And, you know, Cass Tech was, I think, safe to say, stunned by Romeo last year in the Division I finals, and the year before that, put out by Catholic Central in a semifinal matchup. So it was one of those double hungry things. Cass Tech was at their best. They were well prepared. Great coach over there came in. They handled their business. And as far as I'm concerned, when you're talking a Division I title game that was probably the most wanted to see matchup on the year, you go in there and take care of business against Detroit Catholic Central, a state perennial powerhouse, 49-20. As far as I'm concerned, that's a whooping.
No doubt about it. And you know what? The stars came out and they all shined. You know, Peoples had a touchdown at the end.
Great game.
The quarterback, oh my goodness. What? Yeah, 5 touchdowns. Doing it both with his arms and his legs. Kid's unbelievable. Cass Tech, just an all-star team. They basically Michigan Wolverines practice squad at this point. They're such a good filler school for the University of Michigan. That just tells you some of the athletes that come
out
of that school.
Not just Michigan either. I mean, they're Ohio State,
Mike Weber. Yep. You know, I mean,
Michigan
just
State's
a Division I college football factory in Cass Tech High School. Those technicians down there in Detroit getting it done.
Doing it big.
Absolutely. In the shadows of Motor City Casino.
Yep. So congratulations to all the state champions out there.
No doubt.
Congratulations to all the state runners-up. I mean, nothing to hang your
head
about.
Terrific season.
You know, I'm sure it's got to be tough to get there. I'm sure it's tough to get there and have to get on that bus ride on the way home. But, you know, when you look at the big picture of things, it's not that all that bad of a season, which is also what I want to talk about at the college football level too. With Michigan, there's some mainstream talk out there. I just kind of want to weigh in on it. I don't, you know, don't want to put it into a big old discussion and beat the horse on it, but I want to talk about that as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, as far as high school football, I mean, tis the end of the season. And
it is, man. Winter sports, here we come.
Yeah, we got basketball right around the corner. I know, you know, my other gig will be out pretty much every Tuesday and Friday from
January through
March.
Ice hockey has begun.
Yeah.
A couple weeks. They're a couple weeks in already. I believe wrestling is beginning.
Yeah.
And boys basketball is a couple of weeks
and
away.
And Macomb County's got some really good wrestling teams. We're not going to, you know, go out of our way to cover a whole lot of wrestling, but when we see something that's, you know, noteworthy, we'll definitely bring it up.
The boys from Macomb County can hang a little bit.
No doubt about it.
You know, I'm very excited for the basketball season coming up, both boys and girls. Kira Fletcher over there at Warren Cousineau.
She's got a verbal over at Georgia Tech right now.
Yep. And she, I know she's highly touted as one of the leading candidates for many of the Miss Basketball awards that are going to be put out there. So,
and she's ranked amongst, as far as ESPN is concerned, she's up there in the top, you know, handful in the country.
And of course, when it comes to basketball, the PSL is just right down the road, and you're going to see
no better talent in the world.
A lot of athletes come out of there as well.
No doubt, at all levels. But that pretty much wraps things up.
Yeah, real quick, though, before we do move on, that Orchard Lake St. Mary's game and Muskegon game.
Yeah.
29-28 final. It was back and forth all game. You know, and that was the first time I had really covered anything below Division II. And I was mighty impressed. Now, I had seen Orchard Lake St. Mary's play multiple times over the last few years. I think this is definitely one of their better teams.
And you know what? They don't do anything fancy. They line up in wing tee, and they put 2 6-foot, 210-pound fullbacks through the hole and give it to a 5'10", 185-pound running back right behind them.
No.
And their
I was extremely impressed with St. Mary's running back, Rashad Allen.
I saw him live in person. Color.
He ran the ball hard.
I was a color commentator
better,
along with Ben Smith from the BS show here on Michigan Prep to Pros. And we called the De La Salle Orchard Lake St. Mary's game. And
he's a workhorse.
There's his talent all over the place. They have a terrific quarterback as well. They got three or four, you know, running backs who can do it. Rashawn Allen on as a linebacker as well is one of the best in the state. He's very talented and great, of course, terrific coach.
And Muskegon brought a squad down. When this game first started, I'll be honest with you, I thought that Muskegon would probably win this game and have a chance to run away with it. They featured a Mr. Football candidate in Khalil Pimpleton, versatile athlete that gets some looks at wide receiver as well as quarterback, just an absolute blazer when it comes to speed on the football field. The size of their offensive line rivals the size of Cass Tech's offensive line. And although Division III, that was the first thing that came to my mind, you know, going back to it, that was one of my first times covering Division III in the state finals and seeing Muskegon up close. Man, they came down there with the squad. I mean, the first thing I thought was, you know, these kids could play with Cass Tech. I would have loved to see a Muskegon-Cass Tech matchup, actually.
Yeah.
You know, and then Orchard Lake St. Mary's.
I always want to see Orchard Lake St. Mary's just once go up and play D1. They would compete with the best of them.
Of course they can compete.
I mean, if you look at their schedule, they're in the Catholic League Central Division. Everyone else in that division is Division I.
To me, those were some of the two best teams in the state. I know Cass Tech will probably get the nod as the number one team in the state, but to me, Orchard Lake St. Mary's and Muskegon would probably come in there at number two and number three, giving it to Orchard Lake St. Mary's just because they won the head-to-head matchup.
Right.
But it was a very close game. They won it last second on a pylon route, and sometimes things like that happen, you know, but they won the game. I was extremely impressed with them. Orchard Lake St. Mary's actually came in ranked number two in the state before preseason polls.
Yes, before they dropped to Dakota.
And before they dropped to Dakota. So, yes, they can play Division I. They can hang with any of those boys. That was one of the best games that I'd seen all weekend.
And before we do wrap up the high school talk, I just want to say congratulations to Martin Luther King as well, the Crusaders, after what they went through over the summer.
Yes, good
call. Losing their head coach and, you know, being able to fight through that adversity. And, you know, come down, run the grind with the, you know, new head coach and get it done in, you know, their coach's honor. You know, that's a terrific story. Great national attention for that team, you know, brings a good story from the Detroit area. And just, you know, congratulations to MLK down there. You know, yes. That's a big win. Great for the program and good for all those kids.
Definitely worth a mention on that. Good call there. All right. So we're going to transition into a little bit of college talk here. Before we do, just give you a quick update. Just close to halfway through the second half in the Michigan State Duke game. Michigan State hanging with number 5 Duke right now. They currently trail 53-48. But they've been hanging with Duke and fighting all game long. So Spartans have had a tough schedule to open up season.
They dropped out of the AP top 25, but they'll be back. It's early.
Yeah, and just wanted to give that game a quick mention as it is happening live right now on ESPN. College basketball talk will begin to ramp up here as we move forward here on the Mac and Candela show. Now that football season is starting to come to an end, college football, we've got, you know, conference championship games coming up. And then we're going right into bowl season, you know, a couple of weeks off there. And bowl season is going to be heavy. You know, I want to put it out there right now, too. I want to do a college bowl pick'em, and I want to do something big time. I'm talking, I want to get some, you know, I want to get like 50, at minimum 50 people involved in like a college bowl pick'em sort of thing.
All right.
So
yeah.
I'll start spreading the word. Heck yeah. We'll run that. All right. Michigan, Ohio State. Man.
Yeah.
Let me start with this. How did you feel after that?
I was sick to my stomach.
A, how did you feel? B, how did you feel in comparison to losing against Michigan State the way Michigan did last year? So it's an A-B question.
Okay, so to answer your question, how did I feel? I felt sick to my stomach. How did I feel in comparison to the Michigan State loss last year?
Yes.
This one hurts more. Everything was on the line for all the marbles. It's Michigan, Ohio State, last regular season game of the year. Winner clinches a playoff spot. The way the last quarter and in the overtime, the end of that game really bugged me. And I'm not going to get on the officials because it shouldn't have came down to that. Just to simply put it, and like I said, I'm not going to beat the dead horse. I know mainstream's been talking about it for a long time. I do feel like the officials got it wrong. I'm not going to argue the pass interference calls. That happens. That's football. That's every day. Wrong the first time. Reviewed it. Still got it wrong. And then didn't at least give a courtesy to take a measurement. I just feel like that sequence, they got it wrong. Simple as that. Now, you still have to make a stop. And if Michigan's going to have the best defense in the nation, they have to make the stop, and they couldn't. Another thing is, will they have 5 yards total offense in the fourth quarter? Something ridiculous like that.
I don't think
the offensive play calling was not impressive. I still don't know what they're trying to do with Jabril Peppers on offense. You might as well just leave him on the bench if that's what you're going to do. Use him for. You know, there was several times where Ohio State just tried to give that game away, and Michigan, just like in the Iowa game, was a first down away from winning both of them. If they can get a drive set up and gain 10 yards one time when they needed to, both of those games would have been Wolverine victories. After the second missed field goal from Ohio State, they had just about 3.5 minutes left. Ohio State had one timeout. If they get a first down, they can run that clock to under 2 minutes. And even if they get stopped again, they're punting and giving Ohio State 90 yards probably to drive down the field in 1.5 minutes against the best defense in the nation. I'll take my chances. Get the first down and end the game. Did I answer your question?
I mean, for the most part, Yeah,
you know, everyone else is talking about the refs. It's not about the refs.
No, and here's the thing. I do want to say this about the refs. Two penalties for a total of 6 yards.
Yeah, Ohio State just must be really, really disciplined.
Absolutely sucks. But you know what? You can't talk about it. You're absolutely right.
You can't. It's part
of the
game.
You want to.
What are you going
to
do?
Look, you want to, because let's be honest. Let's just be honest. Two flags for a total of 6 penalty yards against the Ohio State Buckeyes, right? But you can't talk about it.
Right.
You can't. Now, I'm not even – not.
And despite that, Michigan still had a chance to win the game and couldn't.
Well, and that's the thing. So much to say about this one, right? Because you can't even really be mad about the spot, because that stuff happens. Measurement, really no need for a measurement, because it was literally the start of overtime, and the 15 is the first down.
It would have
yard.
At least given Michigan's defense a second to breathe.
So would have a timeout.
You're at the ultimate
timeout
high.
Timeout would have, though, too.
100%, and that's on Harbaugh.
Right.
100%.
So I'm not really going to bitch about that. And for the people, you know, I thought about that too. Like, you know what? Just a measurement would have made me feel okay. You know, look, the spot's the spot. If that was a second down and 8 spot in the second quarter, no one's going to talk about that spot.
Right.
Because it is a game of inches, and you get some and you don't. And they got that one, right? And truthfully, we weren't there. Cameras, you know this from working in the business, but cameras do funny things. There's not a fan who can watch that game that can take a snapshot or a screenshot of anything and have legit proof that he didn't make it.
Right.
Now,
the problem is they got
the thing
the
call
that I wrong at, originally, and because they could not see the ball in the replay, they could not confirm the actual location.
That's the
of
thing,
it.
Though. There's no proof that they got the call wrong originally. Now, it looked, it appeared like he didn't get it. When I first watched it unfold, I said he didn't get it. Now, after everything calmed down and going back looking at it, when you looked at the reaction of the Michigan football team that was on the field, you know, when a team gets that fourth down stop, there's no doubt about their reaction. There was doubt about Michigan's reaction. A few people waved their, you know, put their arms, you know, signifying that he didn't get it. But there was not the excitement that you would expect.
Like the fist in the air, sprinting down.
Like
it
was
guaranteed,
right? So I looked at that, too. And Michigan's the players on the field didn't sell it hard enough, right? And then I thought to myself, I was talking to a coworker about it, and he actually brought up a good point. Like, it was the beginning of overtime. Like, no matter what, chains are the chains. Like, the 15-yard line is the first down. Like, you started directly at there. So I understand about, sure, you know, maybe the breath could have, you know, let them recover, or you want to regroup after that, but you do want your defense to regroup after that. But where is the timeout?
Well,
so to me, you can't talk
right.
about the officiating,
and
you can't talk about the spot at the end. You want to know why? There's one play
that no one's talking about.
That nobody's talking about.
I know exactly where you're going.
And
Jerry, you took the words right out of my mouth, man.
All the mainstream talk wants to just throw everything on the interceptions. Listen, man. You started a sophomore quarterback this year, and nobody even knew who the quarterback was going in. Until the first game of the season, nobody even knew who the starting quarterback was. And you have a sophomore in there. Harbaugh coached that game like he expected a couple of interceptions, and coached that game in a way to be able to overcome a couple of mistakes. And those mistakes did come, and I'm not so sold. I'm not willing to put those interceptions on Spate. I want to put it on the play calling the most.
I agree with that as well.
But the one play that nobody seems to be talking about is coughing it up on the one friggin' yard line of Ohio State. Listen, you played well enough to overcome sophomore quarterback mistakes. Now, we can all agree that Wilton Spate is a sophomore. Technically, with a full season under his belt, he should be playing at a junior level. But also his first Ohio State game on the road. He played pretty damn well. He didn't catch all of the breaks, right? But he even played well enough to overcome the two detrimental mistakes that resulted in 14 points. They still played well enough to overcome those odds. The fumble is it, man. The fumble down on the 1 yard line.
That was definitely...
That
a
was
rough,
it.
Rough, rough.
Ohio
rough
State can talk about leaving 6 points. 6 points off the board with the field goal. You know what? It doesn't even get to overtime, even if they kick those two field goals and you put it in from the one. You put it in from the one. You don't fumble the ball.
All of a sudden, you turn into Dickie V, baby. What's going on?
How is nobody talking about that?
See, I think there's another play.
What? Nobody's talking about the fumble.
No one's talking about the third down play before that fourth and one, where Samuel ran 90 yards left, right, back, and no one could make a tackle. And then all of a sudden, he picks up 6.5 yards to make it fourth and one. You're telling me what's considered the best defense in the nation
in overtime
could not make a tackle
in the
backfield.
Double overtime game?
Yeah, where Samuel gets the ball, runs right, stops, turns field, runs backwards.
If they tackle him
in the backfield, it's fourth and 18 instead of fourth and one. I like those better.
Look.
I like those odds better.
I'm not going to let anybody put anything on the defense in this one.
The defense played terrific. But I'm saying it's those little details. Samuel gets tackled for a loss, and you're looking at fourth and long, not fourth and one.
I appreciate what you're doing because you're actually setting me up for something. Now, you want to put that on the defense.
I want to put that on an individual player. You're going there.
I'm going there.
Was it him?
The silence of doom. Did you hear it, everybody? The silence of doom. Yes, I'm going there. I am not going to put anything on that team defense, right? I'm upset about the fumble, which nobody's talking about, because, again, you've got a sophomore quarterback. They played well enough to overcome the mistakes of a sophomore quarterback in a game against Ohio State on the road in front of 110,000 people. They played well enough to do it. The fumble, and that was typical against Ohio State, and you could just see it happening where their offense was starting to gain momentum, and the defense was just starting to give up plays and give up those long things. Jabril Peppers, everything that Nick Candela just talked about as a disappointment about how that defensive play unfolds, I put that on you, Mr. Heisman, Mr.
Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year.
Mr. Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. Mr. If you want to be remembered as a great at the school, you play well against Ohio State. Hey, Jabril Peppers, JT Barrett, he ran by you in the open field. That was you, Mr. Linebacker. But yet, you not only average against the game in the game that separates the greats from just the regulars, as you claimed, you got worked. You got worked by a tight end. Everybody says, "Oh, he recorded his first interception."
He did it.
He recorded his first interception. Don't count. Get out of here with that bullshit. Don't count, Mr. Tip Drill. Look, you've been responsible for basically covering tight ends all year. How does a tight end get separation from Jabril Peppers? How does Jabril Peppers not make open field tackles? Now, here's the thing. Everybody wants to know, like, how can you just bag on Jabril Peppers? Let me tell you why. For the same reason, I kind of bagged on LeBron James and still somewhat continue to do so, because there's something that comes with being the superstar in my eyes. And when the superstar lacks this trait, to me, it doesn't matter how good you are, you become fraudulent.
Is that clutch trait?
No. Character. The trait of having character. The trait of being a leader. On and off the field. Do you know what comes with being talked about in the Heisman candidacy? You know what comes with that? What comes with that is the opportunity that you proved to be there. And he failed to live up to it in multiple games. He did. He failed to live up to it against Iowa. We brought it up. that Jabril Peppers had the opportunity to take control of that game. Now, if that starts a conversation and people want to say, well, you know, he hasn't had over 20 yards rushing since the Maryland game, and you want to argue that he might not have been put in position to be able to take over that game, that's fine, but why not? Something just doesn't add up with as much hype as he got and with how much they talk about him and how good he is and how much he can change the game. Something doesn't add up because we were all waiting for his
shining moment.
He had the opportunity against Iowa. He dropped it. He had another opportunity to do it against Ohio State after putting the pressure on himself, and he didn't live up to it.
That I agree with 100%.
And then after the game, I know people haven't agreed with me, and people will justify it till their face is blue. But this is just one of those things, man. This is just one of those things that, to me, his actions after the game were inexcusable. Now, people have justified that to me by telling me that, you know, well, they shouldn't be allowed to rush the field. Listen, rushing the field in college football happens. 98% of the time, there's not a problem. Sure, you realize that it could potentially cause a problem, but again, there's only a problem 2% of the time. So my thing with that is Jabril Peppers is not supposed to be one of those 2% people that you're supposed to worry about being involved in an ugly situation like that. Now, before people feel like I am out to get this guy.
Kind of are.
No. This is a forgivable mistake. I'm not saying ban the kid, drop his draft stock. I'm not saying there's character problems. I am not going that far. People are taking it that way because of how passionate I am about it, you know, and I've talked a lot about it, but I am not saying this, you know, stains his character. I'm not saying he should be suspended, but what I am saying is that particular instance where he put his hands on a spectator that came between him and a Ohio State coach that were trying to shake hands, he was the aggressor. Now, whether or not that guy should have been there doesn't matter because we've all been told as football players and even as football coaches, you teach your players to keep your helmet on, you keep your mouth shut, and you keep on walking. It was clear he was the aggressor there. Now, again, minus the fact that I don't condone his actions, and yes, that can be forgiven, and no, it doesn't put a blemish on his character, and no, I don't think he's a thug. No, I don't think he's a bad person. But you know what it told me? It told me that he lacked leadership. How many times have we been on the airwaves, especially when we were first going, the Devin Gardner era quarterback brings the most memories back to me as far as comparison to this, as far as a team that lacked identity from the result of lack of leadership.
I don't think you can compare Jabril Peppers to Devin Gardner any way, shape,
No. It's not an individual comparison. It's a comparison of...
Even his leadership.
It's a comparison of that's the person who's supposed to be the leader, and he's not leading your team.
All right.
Being the face of the program, being able to do backflips at midfield at Spartan Stadium after beating Michigan State, that doesn't make you a leader.
I don't think anyone says it does. He's a flashy guy, just like when he was a freshman and he was dancing to George Clinton's Atomic Dog in the back of the end zone, and we end up losing by 3 touchdowns.
That's who he is. I need a yes or no answer question answered for me.
Okay.
Yes or no. Does leadership matter when it comes to games like that? When it comes to taking your team over the edge?
It matters during the game. Now,
but doesn't that tell
here,
a story,
let
though?
Me, let no, me
knowing
put a
that
small rebuttal
he has,
on this.
He has had so many opportunities to show up and prove he's the leader that he's hyped to be, right? Like,
well, I will agree that he's
overhyped his entire career, including high school. I'll give you that. He has performed tremendously. He's a hell of an athlete.
No, he hasn't.
Hold on. He's a hell of an athlete, and I appreciate the effort he puts in because that is a hard thing to do at the Division I level. I don't know if you saw the interview he had with Desmond Howard prior to the game on game day.
I didn't.
He was talking, what is a normal day in the life of Jabril Peppers at football practice? He says, first, he goes to the defensive meeting. And then he goes to the offensive meeting.
So
then he goes to the special teams meeting. Then he goes and works out with the defense. Then he comes and he works out with the offense.
So
then he goes and works out with special teams. Then he hits the gym.
So
not a lot of players in college football have
to do
that.
So he's a hard worker.
Right.
And it doesn't, that doesn't mean anything about his leadership.
At a high level.
It doesn't mean anything about his leadership.
He had seven total tackles and four. Seven total tackles and four solo tackles in the Ohio State game.
The point goes mute.
And an interception.
The point goes mute.
Here's your beef. Your beef is, for 1.5 seconds post-game, when a grown man rushed the field.
There's no proof of that either.
Yeah, there is. I'll show it to you. That a grown man rushed the field.
I know someone who
was
completely gray at the age of 22.
No, he wasn't gray. He was a grown man wearing a hat. A grown man.
Please don't do this.
Rushing
please
the
don't
field.
Justify it. Please don't justify
I'm
it.
I'm not justifying
please
his actions.
Please don't justify his actions.
But you are destroying
no,
Jabril
I'm not.
Pepper.
No,
yes,
I'm
you
not. I'm, no, see,
you
that's, what I,
you're
that's
not.
What I put out.
Yeah.
I put the disclaimer out.
You said you put the disclaimer out, but the first thing you said was his character. And then you said, well, I'm not going to judge his character. And I'm not saying he's a thug.
I'm saying
but
he's
for 1.5 seconds,
leadership.
Hold on. There might be people out there who don't even know what we're talking about. So, post-game, Jabril Peppers has his head down. He's walking
out
the field.
I've already set the stage. I put that in there.
But hold on. Let me rebut. Okay? You went out for 5 minutes about it. Give me 2 seconds. Jabril Peppers is walking off the field. The gentleman from the Ohio State sideline.
You know what I'm going to say.
The gentleman from the Ohio State sideline, a coach of some sort, he's wearing the khakis, he's got the OSU polo on, comes out to shake Jabril's hand. He taps him on the elbow. As Jabril Peppers is turning around to shake that man's hand from Ohio State, a grown man,
a fan, an Ohio State fan,
but not, he didn't look like a student.
Doesn't matter, there's no proof, a fan.
Okay, so a person decked out in Ohio State, an Ohio State fan who rushes the field, bumps into the both of them,
yep.
Gets in between the middle of them,
yep.
Interrupts the handshake. Jabril Peppers, for a split second, puts his hands on this fan, shoves him out of the way, then turns to the gentleman who wanted to shake his hand from the Ohio State sideline, shakes his hand, makes eye contact, nods his head as to say thank you for whatever it was that guy had to say. And then he continued to walk off the field. It's not like he Ron Artested. He didn't, on his way to the tunnel, jump into the crowd and beat up a fan because they
very
called
lucky,
him an idiot.
Very lucky that he didn't escalate that into that type of situation.
But he didn't.
Very
you
lucky
can't blame
he didn't.
Him for what he didn't do.
You know what?
And
I
know,
but apparently, I can't even blame him for what he did do.
He put his hands on a fan.
Apparently,
he shoved a guy.
No Michigan fans want
to
hold Jabril Pepper. Sure, it does.
Nothing.
Sure, it does. I put the question out there. If it was an Ohio State player or if it was a Michigan State player, Michigan fans would be groaning. They would be causing a poo-poo.
It wouldn't even be an issue if it was anybody
else. Oh, see, that's fraudulent. That's baloney.
You're baloney.
That's fine.
You're an Oscar.
That's fine.
O-S-C-A-R.
I can't buy it. I can't let anybody justify his actions. And
is it okay
and
to put
me,
your hands on a
it
fan?
Shows,
no.
It shows.
But
exactly.
But it doesn't take away from his, like you said,
it,
if
doesn't,
it doesn't take
no.
away from his character.
It doesn't take away from
you're
anything.
That
it tells the story.
2 seconds.
It tells the story.
From leadership?
Yes.
What does that have to do with leadership?
Leadership
is what you're doing in the locker room, what you're doing on the field, the heart and soul you put into the game, the example you set during the game for how you're supposed to handle
no, man.
The
leaders,
game.
Leaders are responsible for their actions on and off the field.
Is Tom Brady a leader? Tom Brady?
Is Tom Brady a leader? Because if he's not, then we have a problem with the NFL right now.
Tom Brady's a leader.
Even though he cheated. And then denied cheated and covered up the evidence of him cheating. And got suspended 4 games
yes.
for cheating.
Yes. Yes.
But yet he's still a leader.
Yep.
Then your argument is null and void.
No, I don't see.
Good day.
I don't see the comparison.
I said good day.
I don't care. I don't see the comparison. Because you know
well,
what?
Let's put it out there.
You know what? Tom Brady's out there making plays. Tom Brady's
that's a
showing up in
argument.
There. No, it's not.
You're saying because he did that, he didn't play well, so that's why he shoved the guy. And that makes him not a leader.
No.
Not playing well makes him overhyped.
Don't you think something's missing from him? When you have
100%.
When you have all the athletic ability in the world and you don't perform, what do you think is missing? What do you call it?
I call it overhyped.
Overhyped.
Overhyped. It has nothing to do with leadership. Has nothing to do with leadership.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Connor Cook wasn't a leader, but he led his team to a championship.
How'd he do in the big games?
I'm just saying. He wasn't a leader.
How'd he do in the big games?
Self-proclaimed not a leader.
Tyler
to the playoffs.
Tyler O'Connor took care of business against Ohio State for him.
Yes,
they didn't
did.
Even need him in the big game.
Wasn't
How'd
a
he
leader,
do
though?
In the big game?
Wasn't a leader. He said so himself. He wasn't even a captain of the team.
That's right. Wasn't a leader.
Has nothing to do with his accomplishments. Can't take his count. And here you got me defending Michigan State right now.
It's just unbelievable. I don't even understand what you're defending.
I'm just saying that 1 second.
Define.
Perhaps in his
tell
mind.
Tell the story. Absolutely.
What?
Actions speak.
The
Action
one,
speak.
The 1 second he shoved this guy after he ran in between him and a man
okay.
trying to shake his hand.
Let me walk,
he
let me
him
walk
out
through
of
this.
The way.
Let me walk through this. Let me walk through this real quick. Who's the face of the University of Michigan program?
Jim Harbaugh.
Which one of the players?
Jabril Peppers, Jordan Lewis, Wilton Spate.
Oh, Jesus.
Jabril Peppers.
Jabril Peppers is the face of
yes.
that program, the face of that team.
He's a Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year.
Not even the best defensive player on the team, though, mind you.
Now that is a different argument.
It
but
is
for
a
this
different
argument's sake, coaches and writers seem to think he's good. Now, is he overhyped? Yeah, I will agree.
It's,
do I think
it's
he deserves?
It's all fraudulent. It's all
but
fraudulent.
But what does that have to do with him shoving a guy out of his way? Who could have been a threat
you know
to
what?
The coach?
I was told. I was
80-year-old man who wanted to shake his hand.
I was told this past weekend that I didn't understand, and that I didn't know what it was like to be a true Michigan fan.
That's a different argument. That was all BS.
No, because it all comes together. It's all the
but
same.
But now you're
thing.
Changing your story.
No, I'm not changing,
you're changing
my story.
To a different topic.
No, because it all plays into the same thing. Leadership matters. Leaders and best. You want a national championship? You need someone to rise up and take you to that next level.
The national championship was over when they lost the game. His reaction.
So his reactions didn't matter?
Is JT Barrett a leader?
Yeah.
So the fact that he got a DUI in the preseason has nothing to do with change your mind? Man, is that the silence of doom?
I don't know what to tell you, man. I can't let anybody rationalize it. I just don't understand how people seriously have those much blinders on.
It has nothing to do with blinders.
It does.
No one else is even talking about this. You fell for the clickbait.
What clickbait?
The 5 second loop of that action happening.
Oh, I watched it happen. It wasn't even just about what was posted online. I saw it in real time.
He shoved the guy out of the way.
You don't put your hands on somebody.
He ran in between two
you
people.
You don't put your hands on somebody.
I will agree with that.
So what's
but
so
has
what
nothing
is there
to do
talk
with,
about?
Because it has nothing to do with his leadership.
It does have everything to do with his leadership.
All right. Well, hey, we'll agree to disagree.
How
you have your take, I have mine. We already put it on social media.
You are it is LeBron James 2.0.
What about LeBron James?
You think LeBron James is a leader?
I can't stand the guy.
Do you think he's a leader? What don't you like about him?
LeBron James?
Yeah.
That he needed to go to Miami to get 5 titles.
Why? Why did he need to go to Miami?
Are you asking me, do I think LeBron James is a leader? No.
Well,
but he never
there
struck
it is.
The guy.
Tough.
What does that have to do with anything?
Because
he's got a couple MVPs.
The same reason why talent doesn't win you shit. If you don't have leadership, you ain't going anywhere with that talent.
Well, how many titles does he have? How many MVPs does he have?
LeBron James?
Yeah.
He wasn't the leader of those teams.
I agree.
Okay. Who was Michigan's leader? Can we agree
I'm
that
not
every
in the
team,
locker room.
Can we agree that every team has to have a leader?
In my opinion, the leader should be the quarterback.
Okay. Well, that's part of yes, you're right. And you know what? This team was sophomore led. That's my whole point. Thank you. We can end it. We can move on. But that's my whole point.
What?
This team was sophomore led. The leadership was coming from a sophomore this year, and it was very apparent.
How do we know Jordan Lewis isn't? Are you in that locker room every day? Maybe Jordan Lewis is the leader. Maybe Devion Smith is the leader.
Jordan Lewis.
Maybe Jordan Butt is the leader.
Jordan Lewis isn't out there blowing plays.
Has nothing to do with leadership.
No.
I just named 4 other people who could be senior leaders.
Okay. So when you are the best person on the field and you look mediocre in big games, I guess that's just normal.
I agree with you.
I guess that's just normal.
Has nothing to do with leadership.
What does it have to do with?
Talent.
He's got all the freaking talent in the world.
Right.
So what's the problem?
I don't know. You're the one with the problem. I don't have the problem. You had the problem. I'm saying there is no problem.
It tells a story. I don't understand what is so hard for people to realize that I'm not bashing the kid. I'm not saying he's got character issues. I'm not saying he's a bad seed.
Okay, so if I agree
but
he's not a leader, what does that do for you? Do you win? Can we move on?
I'm not looking to win, man. That's
so if I say Jabril Peppers, not a leader, you're happy now. Not a leader. All the talent in the world, overhyped, defensive player of the year in the Big Ten.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
A leader?
That's it.
I don't know the answer to that. I'm not in the locker room.
He's not a leader. Failed to lead his teams in big games.
He made some big plays.
No.
But I agree that not in the big games. I 100% agree.
Four tackles.
Nor did he do it in his career. One interception ever. I agree with that. Do I know if he's a team leader or not? I don't
know
that.
All that needs to be said about it?
Team captain.
You know, the only thing that needs to be said about it, Jabril Peppers, you're leaving without a victory against Ohio State and only one against Michigan State. Good luck in the NFL. You're going to be the biggest bust that ever came out of Michigan. Jabril Peppers is going to be the biggest NFL bust. Mark my words.
Now that is a bold-ass prediction. I like that. I hope you're wrong.
That's where I was getting to.
Yeah.
Leads up to that.
I agree. It's possible.
Biggest 100%. NFL bust that's ever going to come out of Michigan. And fans are touting him as being one of the best. Michigan fans.
Which is why I think
he's
going to leave. Because
he's not even the best player. He's not even the best player on the team. Let's go through this here real quick. I'm sorry. I know you wanted to talk Lions. We only got 5 minutes left. We might as well just finish this, wrap it up, and say see you later. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm in.
So let's walk through
things
this.
Things got heated.
Let's walk through this.
I think after this, you need to maybe take a timeout.
Jabril Peppers?
Take a few plays off.
Who's been more impactful to this team?
Jordan Lewis.
Wilton Spate or Jabril Peppers?
Jabril Peppers.
Okay. I disagree, but I think it's close enough to consider a toss-up.
Okay.
Jake Butt or Jabril Peppers?
Jabril Peppers.
Oh, another one.
I want to talk about a disappointment. They didn't get the ball Jake Butt nearly enough this season.
No.
That's not on him.
That's all they had to focus on.
That's not on him.
You want to talk about what Wilton Spate was able to do as a sophomore, and that's why I give the nod to Wilton
Spate. I take nothing away from Wilton Spate. He played his ass off this
year. Chesson and Darbo had an incomplete ability. I don't even know if that makes sense. But an incomplete ability to make a big play.
He missed them deep a lot. And even you
earlier on in the season. And then they started.
Iowa,
and then they stopped going.
Indiana against Ohio State.
Yeah, I mentioned that he's got to work it. But a sophomore, again, a sophomore.
I agree.
Sophomore, right? But he's working a lot of those balls.
I mean, technically, he's a redshirt junior, but it's
look,
second year.
You throw some of those balls. So yeah, he underthrew some players and missed a couple of them.
Overthrew.
But there were a couple of jump balls that he got there, and our Michigan receivers couldn't come down with it. Sure, there were some big plays earlier on when the offense was clicking and the receivers were running by lesser talent on the edges. But Chesson and Darbo, to my knowledge right now, I can't think of any jump balls that they came down
Darbo
with.
Is Darbo an NFL receiver?
No, neither of them are.
Okay.
Neither of them are. And that's
is
uncommon.
Is Jake Butt an NFL tight end?
Yes. And that's why they take him away. And Davion Smith, trash. Horrible.
Trash.
Hot garbage. Trash.
I've said that for two
trash.
Years.
Trash. So horrible. Worst running back I've ever seen at the University of Michigan. And that's God's honest truth.
I can't disagree with you.
Right? So Wilton Spate was able to do a lot with a little. So, okay. You're going to take Jabril Peppers over.
And an offensive tackle that got hurt in the first game of the year.
So let's look at the defense. And again, I'm not talking about who's the better athlete.
No, I know.
You know
best
that. I'm talking about who made more of an impact this year.
I completely agree.
And you're still taking Peppers over Jake Butt and Spate.
Had more of an impact? Yes.
Yes.
That's just my opinion. Yes.
Taco Charlton or Jabril Peppers?
Taco Charlton.
Jordan Lewis or Jabril Peppers?
Jordan Lewis.
Those were the four I wanted to bring in there. Either way, I think we can agree that Spate and Butt can debatably we can debate that back and forth. It's a toss up. You're gonna give it to Peppers?
I think more impactful as a team. Yeah, Jabril Peppers made more of an impact because now last year it was Jake Butt, 100%.
Now either
best
way,
player on the field at all times.
Either way, Jabril Peppers wasn't even your best defensive player,
100%.
And he was put in the position
and Jordan
to
Lewis
be the best defensive player,
defensive back of the year.
What does Jabril Peppers play in the NFL?
I think right now he plays a nickel or a dime safety.
Right, like a package player, right?
Yeah, like a Tyrann Mathieu, but
we
not in every play.
We look at him. He hasn't had any bone-crunching hits.
Well, here's
he's going to be more undersized than Ernie Sims at linebacker. He's not going to make it as a linebacker. He hasn't shown he has the ability to lock down anybody in pass coverage.
That's why if there's a chance that he comes back, it's to define his role. And maybe there's somebody out there talking to him saying, look, you're not going to play defense in the NFL.
He's not.
So if you want to play offense, stay another year, get some reps in the slot, become a Percy Harvin, become a LeSean McCoy, and your stocks increase.
I tell you this much.
And you move from a second round to a first
round. You want to know another bold statement? I hope he doesn't come back. I'm willing to move on from Jabril Peppers.
That's
how angry I was. You know, I never even answered the question. I was more sick. I was angry, actually. I wasn't even bothered by the way State beat Michigan last year. I was actually angry after this one a little bit because Jabril Peppers let me down.
100%.
That's it. I beat it to a dead horse. I'm sorry about that. I hijacked all your plans.
Sorry.
I'm still going to get ripped for it.
Do you feel better?
People still don't agree with me.
That's okay. That happens all the time.
People still don't see it. I don't know. Hey. So it's okay. Yeah. All right. We got less than a minute, man. We got to say goodbye.
Yeah. Want to, tune in. Kicking It with Kassar. We got the BS Show. We got John and Paul. What else we got out there? We got Thirsty Thursdays. And a bunch more coming soon.
A bunch more. Can't even keep track of them. We got to get
appreciate
all
listening.
Stuff.
Peace.